Welcome, everybody, to the Know It All Podcast. My name is TJ, and today I want to talk about all the quarterbacks in the NFL. Who's doing a good job, who's doing a bad job, and who barely even has a job. Before I even do all that, though, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my buddy Peanut. Since he's up in Ohio, he doesn't really have just one hometown team. He has two, and I want to give him a little bit of advice on who he should choose, whether it's the Cleveland Browns or the Cincinnati Bengals. So, Peanut, I kind of saved your division for the very end, buddy, and we're going to get to you, and I'm going to give you as much advice as I can about who you should pick, who your quarterback is, and what my decision would be if I was up there. All right, buddy, so we'll get to you. I'm going to start off with the NFC East, work my way through the NFC, and kind of give my opinion on who I think the best quarterbacks are and what the best quarterback division is, and then work my way through the AFC and so on. So, all right, starting off, like I said, with the East, you got Eli Manning, quarterback for the Giants. I kind of think he's on the downfall right now. Downslope, I should say, not downfall. He's made it to two Super Bowls, excuse me. He's won one, and I'm not sure if he'll even go back. Definitely not this year. I really don't see him going back this year. They've lost a lot of defense, and, I mean, Victor Cruz got hurt, second week of preseason. He says he's doing better, and I'm sure they're just holding him out of preseason just because they don't want him to hurt himself further, like I said last week. I don't see that Eli Manning has a lot left there in New York, and I don't see him as anywhere near as, I don't like to use this word, but anywhere near as elite as his brother Peyton is. And I think a lot of times he gets screwed because he gets held to that standard. Out of 10, Eli Manning probably a 6.5 or a 7 out of 10. Michael Vick has the starting job in Philadelphia. Chip Kelly gave him that job. And with their offense, I think he's a great fit for that offense. And what Chip Kelly ran up at Oregon. Remember, Chip Kelly was a college coach last year, and they ran a very fast-paced offense up at Oregon. I think that's a good fit for Michael Vick. He's a runner. He's first guys that had real success in RG3, Colin Kaepernick, Cam Newton type of mold of quarterbacks. Don't see him playing more than 10 games. That being said, I definitely give Michael Vick an 8 out of 10. He's a good quarterback. He's got a pretty strong arm. He's very, very quick. But I think he'll split time with Nick Foles this season. So he'll play and he'll do really good in the games that he plays in. But I'm not sure if he'll get hurt this season or what will happen. But I don't think he'll play all 16 games this year. Going on down to the Washington Redskins, Robert Griffin III, phenomenal athlete. This guy's going to start week one for the Skins. Probably could have started Monday night a couple weeks ago when they played the Steelers. Looked great in that game, was running sprints down the field. I'm sure it killed him to have to sit on the sidelines in that game. I'm sure he's not excited about having to sit out during the preseason, but ever since Kirk Cousins has been, you know, hurt in quotations, he's been practicing with the first team. He's been participating in 11-on-11 drills. He's ready to go. I compared him to Mike Vick a second ago, but I think he's stronger than Michael Vick, faster than Michael Vick. He's got a better arm than Michael Vick does. I think he's a better athlete. He's a better quarterback. Robert Griffin plays 14 games this season, and I think I give him an 8.5, depending on how well he plays this season. And that's kind of a leadership thing, depending on how well the team does. Because leadership is not just how well you are as a quarterback. I think that depends on, you got to lose some games to be a good leader, I think. You don't have to lose some games, but I think how you lose determines your leadership ability, if that makes any sense. The last team for the NFC East would be the Dallas Cowboys and Tony Romo. And I think Tony Romo is going to do a good job this year. They haven't been to the playoffs in 2-3 years now. Nothing exciting has happened in Dallas in quite some time. Nobody new has showed up. Nobody's left. They are the same Dallas Cowboys that have been there for a couple of years. I think, and I'm probably not the only person that thinks this, but I think the only thing that's going to push the Dallas Cowboys over the edge is going to be Tony Romo. And a lot of people don't find that inspiring at all. But if you look at the other quarterbacks in the league, the other teams in the league, I think the Cowboys finish probably second in their division, which is not going to be good enough for the playoffs this year. I wouldn't count on that at all, but that may happen. And I'm only saying that because there's a tiny, teeny, tiny 0.001% chance that that might happen. But Cowboys fans, if it happens, just remember that you heard it here first. Tony Romo's got to play on point all season, and they win some division games. They got second place in the division locked up, and they may even be able to challenge the Skins for first in that division and possibly make the playoffs. So we'll see. Now going from the East all the way to the West, the Arizona Cardinals quarterback is none other than Carson Palmer. He got asked to leave the Bengals, so he went to Oakland. Got asked to leave Oakland, so now he's in Arizona. And I think he might do okay in Arizona. Carson Palmer's not terrible, and I think if he is there for a little while, that he could be the next Kurt Warner in Arizona. I don't mean any insult to Kurt Warner when I say that, and I don't mean any insult to Carson Palmer when I say that, but Carson Palmer's not a bad quarterback, but he's also not a young guy. With that being said, he might be the next old guy quarterback. He's got a couple of weapons there. Carson Palmer can make some moves there in Arizona. The only thing going against him is the other three quarterbacks in that division. And I would say the West may be... I'd say the West is probably the best division quarterback-wise in the NFC. You got Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, Sam Bradford, and Carson Palmer. I mean, and those are all division games for him. Like I said, the defense in Seattle, St. Louis is nothing to shake a stick at. And in San Francisco, you know, they're going to put up 40 points a game, 45 points a game. That's a hard division to play in. He's not winning any trophies anytime soon, but Carson Palmer's going to be the guy. Going on down to San Francisco, like I said, you've got Colin Kaepernick. I'm not sure what to say about Colin Kaepernick. He went to college. He was a baseball player in college. He's Colin Kaepernick. I mean, if you watch the Super Bowl, you saw how fast he can be, how strong his arm is, how accurate he is. He is dangerous with a football in his hands. I mean, if he doesn't score by running past you, he's going to score by throwing the football right past you. I mean, he's got some great receivers. He's got a great backfield behind him. San Francisco to finish second in the division, I think. Moving on down, Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks. Probably third best defense in the entire NFC goes to Seattle. Russell Wilson's fast. Russell Wilson's small. He can get away from a sack. Arm strength is amazing. I like Russell Wilson. I think he's a hell of a quarterback. He's a lot of fun to watch. He's definitely going to be here for a while. But moving on down to the St. Louis Rams. Sam Bradford. I wouldn't quite say that I pity the guy because, you know, to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, there's not much pity you can throw at somebody. But if you look at his draft class, the first two names that really stand out would be Robert Griffin and Andrew Luck. Sam Bradford, man, this guy has been quietly helping rebuilding this team and working his ass off so that they can turn a team around. I mean, it's been a while since really the Rams were anybody. Now they went 7-8-1 last year, and this year they look good. Their defense, good strong defense, like I said a couple seconds ago. You gotta love the Rams, and Sam Bradford, it's all pretty much been on him until and Sam Bradford, it's all pretty much been due to him. I mean, yeah, the receivers have been there. I think he's kind of been that missing piece. we'll see what happens this year. Sophomore season, you know, big year for these guys, RG and Andrew Luck and Sam Bradford. So we'll see what happens. But I got high hopes for Sam Bradford, and I'm hoping he does well. Moving down to the Packers, the Green Bay Packers, moving up, I guess we should say, NFC North, Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers. He sat behind Brett Favre for the first three seasons that he was in Green Bay. Now look what's happened to him. Brett Favre must be a hell of a teacher, and Aaron Rodgers is just, if you get to play for Green Bay at Lambeau, you got to kind of eat, sleep, breathe football. It's kind of got to be what you do. You know, there's not honestly a whole lot to say about Aaron Rodgers except for the fact that up in Green Bay, it's kind of business as usual. I think Eddie Lacy's going to do a lot for that team because having a running back is going to open up a lot more passing for him. Having a running back like that, like Eddie Lacy, Green Bay is going to do really well this year. And I know it's still 73-man roster and all that. Vince Young is listed on their site as their backup. Last week he was third string, but this week they've got him as their backup. He played a little bit of the game last week, and he looked really relaxed. I mean, had a conversation a couple of days ago about the college curse. I mean, you see guys like a Carson Palmer or Matt Leinart, these guys coming out of big-time colleges. Colt McCoy, Matt Leinart, Carson Palmer, Matt Barkley is one of these guys. Mark Sanchez came out of USC. But these guys that are coming out of big big universities playing in these big bowl games, you know, that's kind of it for them. They don't play. They ride the pine for the rest of their lives. These big quarterbacks. I mean, come on, dude. It's sad that these kids at 20, 21, 22 years old are at the peak of their career. Like, you know, they're not going to college and learning stuff. So going on to Minnesota and Christian Ponder. I like Christian Ponder as a quarterback. I don't quite like what exists there for him. And I know he's got middling to decent wide receiver targets. I wish he had somewhere else to play. I don't think handing the ball off to Adrian Peterson is a system that works for him. And like I said, I know there's receivers there, but they're not great. If I had to rate him, I'd have to give him probably a 5.5 or a 6 out of 10. Aaron Rodgers, though, would absolutely earn 9.5 out of 10. But yeah, Christian Ponder, not a lot to say there. A lot of interesting players and personnel there in Minnesota, but look up Joe Webb, though. If you have the time, check out this guy, Joe Webb. Very interesting, interesting guy. Came in the league as a wide receiver. Played a playoff game as a quarterback for Minnesota. He's got like 4'6", 40. Moving on down to the Chicago Bears, Jay Cutler. He gets it done, but not much more than that. He can play a little pass and catch with Brandon Marshall. He hands the ball off pretty well. That's about it, man. The Chicago Bears defense. The Bears defense is amazing. Always been, ever since I've been a football fan. Brian Urlacher's been the guy there. Now they've got Julius Peppers, who's going to be the anchor and the leader on that defense. You know, their defense has always been amazing, though. They've always been that team to beat. So they're the Bears, man. Quarterback-wise, which, I mean, like I said, he's got to be decent. He's starting in the NFL. The Detroit Lions. Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford is a really good quarterback. I think Matt Stafford is one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and top five in the league, I think. He's in a division where it's kind of a ground and pound division. Not a lot of big name wide receivers or big time wide receivers. You know, you've got the check down guy, you got Brandon Pettigrew, who's always going to be a 10 and out. He's always going to be there. Megatron, Calvin Johnson. Actually, that was the first touchdown pass that Matt Stafford ever threw was to Calvin Johnson. So that's really cool, I thought. A lot of people think he's kind of peaked too early and coming down. I'm on the other side of that. I think he hit a quick peak and had a rough year, but I think he's on the way back up. Reggie Bush is back, so that's going to open up his passing game a lot. similar to what Eddie Lacy's going to do in Green Bay. You know, he's going to have the option of the play action's going to come back. Easily going to finish second in that division, possibly first. Detroit may go to the playoffs this year. So, I don't know. That's, I love fishing, but that's deep sea fishing right there. I don't know about all that. Okay, so moving on down to the NFC South. Starting off with my boys, the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton. And I'm going to try and be as nice as I can because I love Cam Newton. I'm not at all a Fairweather fan. I had plenty of doubts about Cam Newton. Not necessarily doubts, but just I'm not a fan of his attitude. I think he needs to grow up a little bit. He's like 6'5", 250, 240. I don't like the fact that they're trying to put Mike Shula in there as the offensive coordinator. I mean, Mike Shula has no reason to be the offensive coordinator. And Cam Newton says he digs him and he likes him and all this other stuff. Good for you, Cam. And you know what? We are undefeated. We're all undefeated right now. So let's go, Cam. And he is a great quarterback. It's just his attitude needs to be readjusted. So the Panthers are helping him out. Ted Ginn from Oregon's there. Steve Smith somehow is still sticking around. He's got to be 58, 59 years old now. Brandon LaFell's there. Kind of the second receiver. I'd like to see Ginn get in there as wide receiver two, not LaFell. He still doesn't know his routes. He's not comfortable catching the ball. He doesn't excite me at all. Greg Olsen, though, he's going to be very important this year because that's Cam Newton's 10-yard guy, 15-yard guy. Very excited about that. So if Cam Newton can get over himself and learn to get rid of the ball when he needs to get rid of the ball, I think he's going to have a great year. This is the year for him to do it. So, Cam, I know you're out there listening. This is your year, buddy. Moving on down to the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees. Sean Payton's coming back this year. As good as they were last year, they'll be better this year. Not so that I could lie to make myself feel better, and I'm not going to start now. Panthers, I think the Panthers finished third. Either third or right in front of the Falcons in second. Drew Brees and the Saints finished first. Easily. Drew Brees is a great quarterback. Some quarterbacks work their asses off to be quarterbacks. Then there are the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, the John Elways, the Drew Brees that wake up and they're quarterbacks. So that's how I feel about that. Drew Brees is a quarterback. He was born a quarterback. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Josh Freeman. Don't really think this guy wakes up in the morning and he's a quarterback. If you watch him play, he's not that guy. If I had to rank him, man, I forgot the last two, but if I had to rank this guy, I'd probably give him... He could probably sit there with Jay Cutler. He's probably 5.8 out of 10. Not great. Not horrible. He's no Mark Sanchez, but he's not great, man. The Bucks, though, their backfield looks pretty good this year. Not a whole lot of excitement anywhere else for the Buccaneers. They're not going to be terrible, though. Last place in the NFC South is probably good for, oh my God, third place in the East or third place in the West, probably. I mean, the South is a tough division, so probably the toughest in the NFC, if not the toughest in football. So being third in the NFC South is not a bad thing. I mean, it is come playoff time, but not necessarily when it comes to your reputation. So the Bucks are not a bad team. Josh Freeman just needs a little more time, I think, a couple more years, and he'll be good. He's not a bad quarterback, I guess is what I'm trying to say. 5.5 out of 10, like I said. And to wrap up, the first 16 quarterbacks, Mr. Matt Ryan. Once again, speaking of guys that wake up and are quarterbacks first thing in the morning, Matt Ryan is just gunslinger. Matt Ryan is fun to watch. He's quick. He's light. He bounces a little bit on his feet. He's a gunslinging dude. Two Pro Bowl wide receivers, I'd say, this year. Steven Jackson in the backfield. Wow. Falcons, yes, yeah, second. Oh, wow. NFC's, the South is just such a good division. And I'm sorry, I'm trying to look at quarterbacks, not the whole team, but okay. So Matt Ryan, probably an 8 out of 10. Drew Brees, I'd probably give Drew Brees a 8.5 out of 10. Jesus. Yeah, 8.5 out of 10. Cam Newton, I'd give Cam Newton a 7 out of 10 with room to improve, I guess, if that's fair enough. So just ranking all the divisions, which division has the best quarterbacks? NFC West has the best. The South, second. The NFC North comes in third. And the worst quarterbacks, the NFC is easily the NFC East. Bobby Griffin, he's really the only great quarterback in that division. Michael Vick is like a 7. Eli Manning, again, 6.5 or a 7. Tony Romo's got room to be good, but he's very quickly running out of room. All right, moving on to the AFC East, all the AFC quarterbacks. And starting off with what has turned into one of the biggest competitions for a starting quarterback all season long. Not the Jets, the Buffalo Bills. EJ Manuel, and it's not quite a competition because they have said EJ Manuel is their guy. They want EJ Manuel under center for week one if he's healthy, if he can be there. But yesterday they signed Matt Leinart, another USC guy. They signed Matt Leinart because they don't want Kevin Kolb under center. And then they said that Jeff Toole is going to be their backup. So I don't think they know at all what's going on in Buffalo other than they want EJ Manuel. That's cool. I mean, Buffalo's not quite a team that's going to be making a serious push. All they're going to be worried about is circling the wagons once it starts snowing. I don't even know what a Buffalo Bills game looks like. I've never seen one on TV. I don't even, never even really had the patience to watch a Buffalo Bills game. I've seen a lot of them on the NFL films. A lot of the greatest NFL follies. A lot of those seem to be Buffalo Bills games. But this is my first real football season in New York, so maybe I'll catch one on TV or something. Who knows? And now, the second biggest decision, Mark Sanchez or Geno Smith, and now, dark horse candidate, former BCS champion, Greg McElroy, has entered the decision. And now, out of all three potential starting quarterbacks for the Jets this season, we have Mark Sanchez, a representative of the Pac-10. We have Geno Smith, a representative of the Big Ten. And we have Greg McElroy, representative of the SEC. So this is pretty exciting. And I think, honestly, if McElroy is going to be a potential starter, to be perfectly honest with you, I haven't heard anything about him being a jerk. And all I heard during the draft was how shitty Geno Smith was, how big of an attitude he had. And you heard my rant about Cam Newton and his attitude. So I say start McElroy. McElroy's got a BCS title. I don't think Geno Smith has one. Just saying. And Geno Smith's hurt. Let McElroy get his reps now. Let him play now. I don't see why not. I'm on Team McElroy, man. Let's throw McElroy in there. If Mark Sanchez is going to be hurt, ship him off to a team that needs a quarterback. I think that's a good way to start, is get a good young quarterback that's not going to run his mouth. Greg McElroy seems to be a quiet guy. He hasn't made a big deal, which he's also the third string quarterback, so he doesn't have a lot to say. So I could be completely 180 degrees wrong. But Geno Smith, and I could be wrong about Geno Smith too. I heard this on the television and on the internet. So, you know, everything you read on the internet has to be true. But no, I could be wrong. Either way, if Geno Smith's hurt, then I say give the job to Greg McElroy, because apparently nobody wants Sanchez in there anyway. Even though Sanchez is really the only guy that you have on your team that has a grasp of the offense, and even he fumbles with the offense sometimes. See what I did there? Fumbles the offense. So, all right, moving on. The Miami Dolphins Mr. Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill, I don't want to say unproven. He just doesn't have a lot of, doesn't have a big resume, I should say. The receiving core that he has down there, not a lot of big names, but a lot of very competent names down there. Mike Wallace, as long as he can get the ball to him, I think a lot of good things are going to happen. He's going to help him out a lot. Ryan Tannehill is going to make a name for himself in the next 2 years. I think the AFC East is going to go from one of the worst QB divisions to probably second, if not first, in the AFC. 3 years. I'll put money on it now. Moving on down, the New England Patriots, Mr. Tom Brady. And there's nothing really to say about Tom Brady. Down in New England, it's kind of business as usual. Just another year of turnover down there. They're losing a lot of people. Tim Tebow actually made that squad. So, I mean, so far, once again, they're, 75 this week, I think. So, next week will be the final cuts. There's a lot of interesting things they can do with Tim Tebow. Either way. Tom Brady, they do tend to go through a lot of people, receivers-wise. If you look at Gronkowski, Wes Welker's gone now. Let's see, they had Randy Moss for a year. What's his name? Danny Amendola's there. He's hurt right now. Like I said, Gronk and Welker are gone. Hernandez is gone, but I think he was gone early enough in the preseason that it's not going to affect them very much. A big deal was made about that for obvious reasons. He's indicted and all this other stuff. But, you know, it's not going to affect them football-wise, I don't think. And Tom Brady is the king of adapt and overcome. Bill Belichick is the king of, you know, we're here to play football. We're not here to look at the guys around us. We're here to play football. So the Patriots are going to be a great team this year, but that's nothing new. New England's always had a great ball club. Don't be surprised when the New England Patriots are in the playoffs and go deep this year. I would say you heard it here first, but why is that surprising that the Patriots are a good team this year? Going on down. Oh, if you want to rank these guys, I can't do Buffalo. I can't do the Jets. Tannehill, I give Tannehill a 7, 6.5 or a 7. Absolutely better than quite a few guys in the NFC. Brady, 10. Absolutely 10 out of 10. There's not anything else that he could do better. He elevates the players around him. He plays hurt. He's Tom Brady. You can't ask for anything more. Moving on down to the AFC West. Alex Smith of the Kansas City Chiefs. Got a lot of hope for Alex Smith this year. New system. Andy Reid's out in Kansas City. This is going to be the first year that Andy Reid has a guy that's not Michael Vick. Just let that kind of simmer in your brain. And if you think Alex Smith is, I think he's a really good quarterback. I think he absolutely deserves a chance. And Harbaugh last year, he's got a weird approach to football. And he played it like hockey. He said, I'm going to go with the hot hand. And I'm gonna keep Kaepernick in. And I can understand why I did that, being a hockey fan. You know, he did what felt right and worked for him. And clearly it worked. They went to the Super Bowl and should have won, but got cheated by the referees and the Ravens. Which we all know the Ravens and the referees work together. I think Alex Smith is going to do well down in Kansas City. Kid's got an arm. Quarterback, smart guy. I would probably give him an 8. Yeah, probably an 8. Moving on down to Matt Flynn of the Oakland Raiders. I made a comment earlier about how Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre for 3 years before he started. Okay, Matt Flynn sat behind Aaron Rodgers for 3 years. And then went over to Seattle and was supposed to win the starting job there. And sat behind Russell Wilson. And then he comes over to Oakland. He got traded to Oakland. And now he's supposed to have this job. And the only thing that's disheartening for me, because after seeing him play, I really, really like Matt Flynn. But he played poorly, and he hurt his arm, and now they're talking about Terrell Pryor. So there's that. I'm not sure what's going on. I know Terrell Pryor is starting this week against Seattle, and I do know that Matt Flynn won't play because of arm soreness, but at the same time, this is the last week of the preseason, so They haven't listed a starter for week one of the regular season, and I know whose name I'd like to see on that list. Matt Flynn, of course. So, Matt Flynn, I'd probably give Matt Flynn 6.5 because I've only seen him play in the preseason, so looked good when I saw him play. Okay, moving on down from Matt Flynn to probably, not even probably, the greatest guy, the greatest quarterback of, I wouldn't call it the modern era because he's too old now, but God, man, Peyton Manning, this guy, I think it's crazy that Peyton Manning would go anywhere but Indianapolis, but like I said at the same time, to go anywhere other than Denver just doesn't make sense. Peyton Manning in Denver seems fitting. Not a whole lot to say, like I said, about Peyton Manning other than being the greatest and the only other 10 on the list. Peyton Manning is just something else. So, Broncos in it again this year. I think that division, Broncos win that division easily. The turnaround team in that division this year has got to be the San Diego Chargers, because if not, they get a new quarterback next year. They just draft an entire new team next year. Philip Rivers is not a terrible quarterback, but he is by no means a great quarterback. He is, unfortunately, and I hate to say this about him, he is there in the middle. He's another one of those guys that you lump in the middle with the Jay Cutlers, the Tony Romos, and the Josh Freemans. He is kind of a placeholder. He's been lucky recently. At this point, it's probably 5-8 years that he's been lucky with Antonio Gates. That connection thing, that pitch and catch that he's had going on with Antonio Gates has far outstayed its welcome there in San Diego. I think they've gotten lucky that it's worked. The fact that it still works is amazing. And I wouldn't even say that it works. They get lucky, and sometimes he catches it, sometimes he doesn't. And Gates is incredibly, incredibly athletic, and I think that's definitely played in their favor because he's no spring chicken either. He's an older guy, and the man's got moves. He's catching the ball, and he's making moves, but at the same time, he is not a young guy. So 2013, I would easily say 2015. The 2015-2016 San Diego Chargers look completely different than the 2013-2014 San Diego Chargers. There's got to be a new quarterback. Got to be. Now, their defense isn't bad. No, they need to make some changes. This year has to be the year that they turn it around and mix some things up, or else they have no choice. So, Philip Rivers, I'm sorry, buddy. I got to give you you're right there with Jay Cutler. You're at a 5.5. I'll give you a 6 because nobody deserves a 5.5. But moving on to the AFC South. And this is a division of boring-sounding teams, but a lot of these teams are surprising, I think. Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. I know I talked very highly of Sam Bradford. That division's going to be impossible to do great in. He's going to do very well. Over 500, I think, is the best you can hope for Sam Bradford. Now, Andrew Luck and the division that he's in, you got to look at the teams around him, but this guy, Andrew Luck, I would say 10-6 at the least. The division that he's in, oh my gosh, this man's going to be amazing this year. The way that he's been playing in the preseason and the way that just the heads-up decision-making that he has, you can tell, and you could see it last year. I mean, the way that they kept him in when they were so far behind and he wanted to play and he was learning. He's learning the game, man. This kid is, and I've said it a couple more times in this podcast, he is football smart. He knows what he's doing when he's playing the game. You have to have that. It's an instinct. So it's you got it or you don't. It's one of those things. And Andrew Luck definitely has it. Andrew Luck, starting off his sophomore season, he and RG are right there. I give him an 8, just probably 7.9. I want to give him some room to improve. You can't set the bar so high. Blaine Gabbert, Blaine Gabbert is not he's kind of a stick in the mud. He's nothing exciting as far as quarterbacks go. He's another one of those guys I got to throw down where Jay Cutler is. He's not the guy that's going to take you to the playoffs, I don't think. But at the same time, he's a young quarterback and he has a little bit to learn. And the division that he's in, I don't think is going to do him any favors, because the other three quarterbacks are also young quarterbacks. But this division is not a very forgiving division. Indianapolis, always been good. Tennessee, not always been good, but when they're good, they're good. And Houston is surprisingly good this year. I know they've got a couple of key injuries. They're not going to be a team to mess with. And Matt Schaub, he's hitting his stride. He's finally getting his stuff together. He's hitting his stride, and he's surprising me. And I'll get down there in a second. But Blaine Gabbert is just not exciting to me. I mean, he played, I think, the first preseason game. He's missed all of them since then. And all right, so from there, I want to continue on to Jake Locker. Yeah, Jake Locker with the weapons that he has this year. This may be one of the tightest divisions in the AFC. I mean, with the exception of the Jaguars, which the Jaguars are always kind of cellar dwellers anyway. I mean, you've got the Texans, the Titans, and the Colts. The Titans are going to be a team this year. They're going to be a good team. So I would not count the Titans out. And if you got a spare $10 and somebody's asking you to put a bet down, depending on who they're playing, man, I would lean heavily towards Jake Locker. He's got, I mean, guys like Kenny Britt and Delanie Walker as go-to guys. Look out for the Titans this year. Moving on down to the last team in the North. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me rate Jake Locker real quick. Jake Locker, probably 6.9, right under a 7. Kid's got room to grow. He's definitely no Tom Brady. He's got room, though. I say 3 years, 4 years, and he'll be big and bad. He'll be, well, I don't want to put that kind of pressure. He may get big into a gotta rate him though. I would say probably a 7, a little bit lower than a 7.5, maybe 7.25, 7.3. I think he's a good quarterback. Moving on down to the Texans. Matt Schaub. And Matt Schaub is just a quiet, demure guy. He's a quiet quarterback, but looking at the Texans this year, they're going to be a good team. So, Matt Schaub played at UVA a couple of years ago. I can almost guarantee that the Texans go to the playoffs. Now, despite that guarantee, and despite Foster being out right now, he's back working out now. He's back practicing now. He's going to be fine. And even if he's not, Ben Tate's doing a more than capable job. You look at their wide receivers, DeAndre Hopkins, Andre Johnson. Like, it's not like they're the Houston Texans when they first got Foster and he was getting 6 billion carries a game. I mean, they're going to be fine. Matt Schaub can easily spread the ball around. Texans are good. So, like I said, they're gonna win that division easily. So that's the AFC South. Moving on up to the AFC North, and Peanut, this is where you got to pay attention, buddy. This is your division. So you're gonna want to check out the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns. Those are the two teams that are right there by you. I would go for the Cincinnati Bengals. They're a more dynamic team. Then the Browns. The Browns are exactly like what they sound like. They're kind of boring. They're kind of sad. They make you want to yawn. The only exciting thing the Browns have going for them is their quarterback, Brandon Whedon. I think he's kind of interesting. He played professional baseball for a couple of years before going back to college. Played with the Dodgers. Played with the Royals. All of it in minor leagues, though, so it's not super exciting, but he's not a great quarterback. But on the flip side, Andy Dalton, the guy that plays with the Bengals, he's not really exciting either. You know, there's that, but the Bengals are going to be good this year. There's a good chance that the Bengals win that division. You've got the advantage there of, if you like the Bengals, that team's going to win the division this year. So Like I said, buddy, I personally, I would be a Bengals fan. You've got, they're right there in Cincinnati. They are, they will be your hometown team. You know, Andy Dalton, he's only going to get better. He's a, out of 10, I'd probably give him a 6, 6.5. He's not great, but he's not bad. He's definitely better than a Phillip Rivers. He's probably right at an Alex Smith if he gets the right guys. And he absolutely does have the right guys. He's got A.J. Green. And that's really all he needs right now is a good receiver, pitch and catch, too. So I like Andy Dalton. And I like him to win the division. Cincinnati Bengals, playoff bound this year. Moving on down to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger is a quarterback that you can... you can definitely hold on to if you're a fantasy type guy. If you play fantasy football, this is the guy to take as your number two quarterback. Definitely, I had him last year, and actually, this sounds strange, but I picked up Ben Roethlisberger and Tony Romo. My team this year is way better than it was last year. I paid a lot more attention this year, but my two quarterbacks last year were Ben Roethlisberger and Tony Romo. I was the number two seed going into the playoffs. I was heartbroken by the end of the season. I was really excited. I was one of the first guys to make it into the playoffs. Like I said, I was a two seed, but the last couple of weeks of the season, I think I lost out. Like first game of fantasy playoffs, I was out. It was heartbreaking, man. But Ben Roethlisberger is one of those guys that can turn a 5-yard scramble into a 40-yard pass. He is not just a good guy to have fantasy-wise. He's definitely a good guy to have on your team, whether you're a receiver, a coach, whatever. So, fun to watch, too. He's a big guy. Steelers, I have him coming in second in the division this year. Ben Roethlisberger, 8.5. Solid 8.5. Good quarterback. Really, really good, solid quarterback. Clutch player there when you need him. Moving on down to the Browns, I was just talking about him. Brandon Whedon, he's the oldest rookie in the league. I think he's like 28 years old, and this is his first year. Heard a lot of people talking about him the other day, just saying he's almost 30 years old, and he's got way too much work to do on his form. You can't invest that type of time when you're 30 years old. So, and I don't like to base my ideas on what other people say, but that just makes way too much sense to me. I mean, not everybody's going to be sticking around to Peyton Manning's age and Tom Brady's age. That's a rarity. Brandon Whedon at 30 years old, he's got 3-4 years in the league tops. I like what he represents. He is the ultimate underdog, but he's not going to be around very long. So, 5.5, buddy. Yeah. And Joe Flacco, absolutely not a Joe Flacco fan. I don't like Joe Flacco at all. He's a Baltimorean. He is. I think his receivers make him look better than he even is. I think his receivers. He's not the type of guy that will take a smaller salary so they can get better players on the team. I'm not a big Joe Flacco fan. Like I said, I can go on and on about how much I don't like Tom Brady or Joe Flacco. But what I saw the other night in one of the preseason games I saw him play in was Joe Flacco has developed the ability to come to the line, call plays, and manage the line of scrimmage, and that's something every quarterback should have, but I was a little bit impressed, I will say. So Flacco, my jury's still out on Flacco because he was very underwhelming in the Super Bowl, but I will maintain the fact that you do have to have some sort of skill to get there. They shouldn't have beat Denver. I don't think they beat the 49ers fairly. All that being said, you got to have some kind of skill in order to get there. So, Flacco, I would probably give Flacco like a 7, a flat 7. Yeah. But if I were ranking, everyone in the AFC 1-4. I'd probably give the AFC West the number one spot. Peyton Manning, Alex Smith, and Matt Flynn and Philip Rivers being on the bottom. AFC North in second, just because you've got Dalton, Roethlisberger, Whedon, and Flacco. Not in any particular order, but there's some talent there. I think Dalton's got a lot of room to grow. Roethlisberger's a lot better than he gets credit for. And Brandon Whedon, somebody somewhere likes Brandon Whedon, so he deserves a little bit. The AFC South in third, just because that is a tough division, man. And then the AFC East has to be last. I mean, other than Tom Brady, there is nobody good in that division. Ryan Tannehill, Mark Sanchez, Geno Smith, Greg McElroy, EJ Manuel, Matt Leinart, and Jeff Toole. And a reminder that the last six quarterbacks I named could all start on opening day. So, with that, that was kind of my all 32 roundup type thing. I've been wanting to do that for a while, and I just gotten wrapped up in other things and all that type of stuff. So, thanks for listening, if you've even made it this far. Andre, I hope I helped you out a little bit. I know I didn't get to go very far into it, but the Bengals, I think the Bengals are your best bet, buddy. The Cleveland Browns aren't going to be a lot of fun to watch, just because they're kind of they're not a great football team, but they're also not a very exciting football team. The Cincinnati Bengals are going to be a lot of fun to watch. Big, explosive receivers, good quarterback, good running backs. Their defense is pretty good. There's also a TV show on HBO. It's called Hard Knocks with the Cincinnati Bengals. It shows their training camp. But with that being said, man, I'd like to thank you guys all for listening. That's going to be all for this week. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed the show, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Thanks for listening. We were born before the wind, also younger than the sun, and the bonnie boat was won as we sailed into the mystic. Hark now, hear the sailors cry. Smell the sea, feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic. When that foghorn blows, we'll be coming home. And when that foghorn blows, I wanna hear it. I don't have to fear it. I wanna rock your gypsy soul, just like way back in the days of old. And magnificently we will float into the mystic. Together we will float
into the mystic.